Well, this morning I read a couple of prophecies at the 8:30 service, and the one on December 29th, 2013 says, "What I heard this afternoon in prayer, this year coming up is the year where we sell out to Him. There's going to be a great division in the church, and I'm talking about the prayer center, with good intentions but great warfare. Some will stay, some will go. And I'm telling you, that's okay. It's the year of selling out to Him. Whatever His will is, I don't live unto myself anymore." And in January the 5th of this year, it says, "My plans have not and will not change regarding the mission of the Family Prayer Center, no matter who stays or goes, no matter what you think is right or wrong here. It does not change my plan for you or the body of the Family Prayer Center. Obedience is all I need. We will have our revival. Every day we are closer than before." Also, he said, "The assignment of God gave us is going to be completed." It says, "The purpose will come to pass for what the prayer center has been directed to do. There's been an assignment given, not to this group, but the assignment that has been given to the prayer center family. It is the ones around anywhere who have attached themselves to the standards of prayer and fasting, but not just the standards of prayer and fasting, but of not pursuing your own ministry, your own dreams, but also standards of laying your life down, not of building something of men, that type of thing. If you've been attached to us, either by your heart or by God's will, attached to this assignment, it is moving forward. It has made leaps and bounds over the last few years, unseen leaps and bounds the last few years. I need to say that again, the assignment that God has progressed, the assignment that God has progressed in leaps and bounds over the last few years. It is going to be completed. So don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened. Don't listen to failure or defeat because it is not true. Keep moving forward because in you is something precious that is being built that you carry with you everywhere you go. He is seeking for a revival of love, of integrity, of sincerity, of holiness, a revival of God's power, a revival of God's heart. It may seem like the length of time to get there may look like it is because it is not working, but it is. If you just look inward, you will find out that it is. It is working, amen? It's working in you and it's working in me as we continue to press into Him. And so this morning I was talking a little bit about how do we become one of those sold out ones? How do we stand? And we said that first of all we had to be, you know, a steward of the mysteries of God. We'd be found faithful. Amen. A steward is to be found faithful. And so we want to be faithful stewards of the mysteries of God, of the things that God has given us. And tonight I want to look a little bit further because God has set a standard. I mean, it's not like we just go after God any way we want. Have you ever heard anybody, "Well, I just seek God my own way"? Well, what do they mean by that? You know, they're just doing their own thing to find Him? You know, Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the door to the sheep. Anybody that comes another way is a thief and a robber." You know, and there are things that God has laid out within His Word and ways that He's said we've got to seek Him if we're going to know Him, if we're going to be His sold out one. Now, you might be a follower of Jesus, but are you His disciple? Am I His disciple is the question I've been asking myself even. Am I a sold out one, Lord? Am I really sold out to You? Does my life belong to You? Or do I keep it back and do it my own way? You see, by doing it our own way, as he was talking about, you know, in some of the prophecies, those that have attached themselves to the prayer center, We're not trying to build our own ministry. We're allowing God to build us in fellowship with Him, knowing Him, so that He can then instruct us in the way He wants us to go, so that we hear His voice and do His bidding and do His will. Doesn't mean that you're going to do everything that Pastor Dave does, because his call may be different. God may be instructing him in another way. Right now, he's on the road a lot. God has released him to be on the road, to follow God, you know, to pursue that avenue. But for a while, God called him off the road, and we need to be in that. And I'm just using that as an example, because each person has to follow what God is saying in their heart. I know another dear saint of God, and God's recently called her to open up a home. She says, God told me to open this home for women. I said, oh, okay. You know, God told her to do that. You know, and she allows those that God sends to her. You know, and there was a particular famous person that became homeless, and someone was trying to get them to, you know, get a hold of her to have her come there. She's got a lot of money because she had been famous, you know, or people around her have money that would be willing to pay and everything. And God spoke to her, no, don't allow them to come. You're not going to be able to help that person. It's not going to work out. Somebody else has to help them. So she said, okay, you know, but we have to be willing to lay down our own agenda and what we think would be the right thing to do, and not try to build ourselves after a man or after an organization or after a church or a certain teaching, but we build ourselves into the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, that we're transformed, right? Into that image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're going to let's look at that real quick, 2 Corinthians 3:18, because that's really the goal. It said, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of the Lord is going to take us and conform us to that image. What image? The image of Christ. The image of who you are in Him on the inside of you. So we were talking a little bit about that this morning, and I want to take a little bit further tonight and see that as we follow Him, there's ways that He it's not just our own way. You see, God's always had that. Even in the Old Testament, remember when they came out of the wilderness, God takes Moses to the mountain. He not only gives him the Ten Commandments, but He specifically instructed him concerning the priesthood, what they would wear, how to build the tabernacle, what colors to use, what kind of skin to use, what kind of metal to use, what kind of clothing the priests would wear, how it would be set up exactly, precisely, how to burn the incense. Don't do it this way. You know, if you remember, you know, some of them didn't do it right. They thought they would do it their own way. So they burned strange fire before the Lord, Aaron's two sons, and they died. Why? They did everything else right, you know. It seemed good. But they did that wrong. And the same thing's going to happen if we begin to follow in the Lord. You know, when we do it ourselves, you know, we may not see that result instantly as they did in the Old Testament, but the Bible says our works are going to be burned with fire. It's going to be tried by fire to see whether they stand. And if it's our own works, our own thinking, it's not going to stand, is it? Because we didn't do it His way. We didn't follow the pattern that Jesus set out. Amen? But let's go to, I think I'm just going to start with Matthew 6. Let's go there first. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Matthew 6, 33. This is a very familiar verse. Matthew 6, 33. Let's see here. Most of you can probably quote it, but we'll read it. It's good to put our eyes upon the Word of God. Amen. Sometimes we can quote it, and I could quote this verse probably, but I want to make sure I get it right. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now in this passage, he was talking about provision and man's provision and not to seek after, you know, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. You know, but he said, if you'll seek first his kingdom. Well, first of all, we need to realize it's his kingdom and not my kingdom. Amen. It's not our own kingdom, but it's his kingdom. It's not our kingdom. It's God's kingdom. And we're to seek first. Jesus is speaking here, and he's talking about the church that's going to come. To be in the kingdom, you've got to be born again. So what does it mean to seek his kingdom and his righteousness? It means to seek out what it means to be who you are in Christ. What it means to be born again. And we've done a lot of that. Pastor Dave's taught a lot on that. What does it mean to be born again? Who are you in Christ? That's God's kingdom, is who you are. And who knows who you are? Do you know exactly who you are? Well, we find who we are, number one, in the Word of God. But we also find who we are as the Holy Spirit reveals to us our place in the kingdom. As we pray it out, as we seek Him, as we worship, as we fast, as we meditate this Word, we begin to discover our place in that kingdom. That's seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His way of doing it. Amen. The principle is the same, to seek after God and His kingdom, His righteousness. So, you know, I mean, some people, what do they believe about the new nature? Some of them still think, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But you're not a sinner. You're born again. You've been changed. You came from darkness. You've been translated into the kingdom of light. You're not the same person you were. You're not a saved, you know, you're born again. You're not a saved sinner. That's Old Testament. They were saved sinners. They were saved in the belief of the coming Messiah, but they were not born again. Hallelujah. There's a difference. There's a difference. When we're born again, our nature has changed. We receive the same kind of nature that Jesus had that is alive unto God, and we receive what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We now have a confidence as a son and an heir and a joint heir with Christ. We've become His very own son and daughter. Amen. That's the kingdom of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. It's not out here. It's in us. And that is the kingdom of His Son and the nature that He gave us, the righteousness that He bestowed to us as a gift. That we are now right with God. We now have a Father who adopted us and made us His own. We were adopted, but now we are very own sons of God. Glory to God. That's good news. You're a son. He is your very own Father. God is your Father when you're born again. Because you're born from above. You received a new birth, the Bible says. We received a birth from the kingdom of darkness. The devil was your father. Now God is your father. You don't serve him anymore. And sin no longer has the power over you. You don't have to serve it. It's his kingdom. And it's not mine. And number two, if I'm going to seek his kingdom, then I'm going to have to seek it his way. I don't get to do it my way. You know, a lot of times we come up with ideas. Well, wouldn't this be great? It would build my church. You know, 10 ways to make a mega church, you know. 6 steps to, you know, to increasing your Sunday school. You know, well, it's all right if God gave you that. If God has shown you how to do that, that's fine. But many times it's just taking ways of man and trying to place them in the kingdom of God. And God wants us to take His kingdom and to win man. Hallelujah. Because His ways are higher than man's ways. His ways are ways of wisdom and power and strength. Because we think we can do it, but we can't do it without Him. But when we get to know Him and His nature is on the inside of us, and that nature begins to develop and grow, and everything we are in Christ and in Him from that born-again nature begins to come forward, then we are powerful. Because we now have authority because we're walking in His wisdom. We're walking in His way when we're following what He says. For the path that He has chosen for us before the foundation of the world. Because we found it out in that prayer closet. We found it out by studying out the Word of God. Meditating in that Word. And letting His Word be the foundation for what God gives us. I mean, He's not going to give you something outside of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit and the Word do agree. They come into agreement as one. And He says, man, you're my son. And I have a plan for your life as you seek my kingdom. Wow. If we really want to know God, we want to know Him no matter what. Sometimes people say, well, do I have to give up this? Well, I don't know. You know, what TV show do I have to stop watching? You know, what's the least I can get away with? That's not the attitude. The attitude is, Father, whatever you want, I'm willing. I'm here, Lord. I'm yours. You know, if you want me to stop watching that, I'm just going to say this, Saturday morning cartoon because I like it. It reminds me of my childhood. I'll give that up to seek you, Lord, if that's what you want. It's not necessarily laying down something bad. But laying down your life. Because what I remember when I began to pray in tongues, I was all excited and I'm going to put my time in with God. And I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again because it so spoke to me. I said, oh, Lord, you know, I'm going down to that church and I got here a little early. And I thought, man, prayer's going to start soon. I figured somebody would get up and start prayer. But I don't know. I guess people were already praying some and I don't know if you interrupt prayer to start prayer, but anyway, I just assumed, you know, they would, you know, make an announcement, we're going to start praying now. So I figured, well, I'll just sit back here and pray for a while, you know, up here by this wall back here. I was praying and I'd prayed. I mean, I really hadn't prayed all that long, maybe 30 or 45 minutes. And the Lord said to me, He said, I'm not interested in your time. I said, well, what do you mean? It's not that He didn't want my time, but He wanted more than that. He said, I'm interested in your life. I said, oh. And I thought, well, okay. You know, and then He said this to me. He said, when you're praying in tongues, you're giving your life to me. I said, oh. In other words, I'm releasing control of what I want, of my idea of saying, Lord, you can have this much time and the rest belongs to me. He wanted all of my time and all of my life. And He wants all of us. And so as I begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, He says, as you're praying in tongues, you're giving me permission to take control of your life, to begin to direct the destiny that I have for you. And the purpose that I've destined before the foundation of the world to come to pass. So no matter how far you may be from the plan of God for your life, the Holy Spirit knows how to bring you into the right place. He knows how to bring you back to that plan, into that plan. If you've moved the wrong way or if you took a wrong step, if you'll keep praying in the Holy Ghost, He's going to get you back on that path. He's going to take you to that place, to the plan that God has established for you before the foundation of the world. That's seeking first the kingdom of God. Because that kingdom is within you. And there is a place in you that He wants to continue to develop that man that was born again to that place where you walk in authority with Him. Yes, in power. But greater than that, in character, in holiness. He said in sincerity, a revival of love, a revival of truth. Because if you have all of those things, the power is going to be a breeze. Hallelujah. God's just looking for some men that will stand and stay long enough and go far enough into Him to allow Him to change them, to bring forth the power that is available to all men. But that power comes through vessels that have been changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, into the image of Jesus Christ. There's only one image we're to look at. You know, it's not the image of some man. You know, the church has done pretty good getting people to conform to some man's way or some denominational way or some teaching way, you know, that they think is truth. You know, from that denomination or from that, you know, type of ministry. But have we really conformed to the image of Jesus? Where I can say, what is it that you need? Jesus, when the blind man came to Jesus, he says, what do you want? I mean, he could have said anything. He could have said, well, I want a wife. You know, I don't know. You know, he says, no, I want my sight. In other words, Jesus was saying, whatever you want, what do you want? It'll be done for you. There's an anointing that's on the inside of every one of you that can come to the same place that Jesus had. That Jesus walked where he heard the voice of his Father. He saw what his Father was doing and he only did that. And he didn't do anything else. He said, I will do the will of my Father. I choose. Hallelujah. So there is a way that God has said. He said, seek first. It can't be second or third. Well, after I finish my education, I'll seek you, Lord. I'm not saying he doesn't want, he may want you to get that education. And he knows you're going to school, you know. Or he knows what's going on in your life, but it can't be second to his desire, second to pursuing after him. He's still first in our life. Well, after I make and get all this stuff paid off, I get out of debt, then I'll seek you, Lord. You know, we come up with excuses, like Pastor Dave says, what we excuse, we're not willing to change. And sometimes we say, well, I don't have time, Lord, to seek you. Do you have 15 minutes on your break? I said this morning. Do you have a lunch break where you could take 10 minutes, you know, to seek the Lord before you have your 20-minute lunch? Have you got some time to start? You know, it doesn't take long. I mean, there's some books in the Bible that are very short. You know, 2 John. 2 or 3 minutes, you can read the whole chapter. One chapter. You could read that every day for 30 days. Think about that. And just start getting your mind renewed. It would be a beginning. You know, 3 John, same thing. Book of Jude, real small. I'm giving you some easy things here. A couple of minutes a day. I don't have time to read that Bible. Do you have 2 minutes? You have 2 minutes? I know most people can find 2 minutes, you know, if they really want to, you know. We just make ourselves so busy. And it's a lie of the devil to where he lies so much. He makes us believe that you don't have time. Well, God didn't make it that difficult. You know, we got one book, right? Amen. The Holy Bible. That's it. That's our book. The book, you know. Which sometimes we refer to Dave's book as the book, but this is the book. You know, Dave got his information from the Bible. You know, hallelujah. We need to remember that. But there is a counting, you know, that God has. Let's go to Luke 14. Let's go there for now. But it's seeking first of the kingdom of God. So God, you know, if we really want to know Him, our attitude is, God, you know, I can't do it my way. I don't get to bring my stuff along into Your presence. But I get to humble myself, Father, and lay my life down and come and follow You. All right, let's look at, start with verse 26, 25, 26 here. And there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Everybody's looking at it and they're mocking him. He couldn't finish the tower, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goes to war against another king and sits not down first and consults whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against them with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassage or an embassy, somebody to be an ambassador, and desires conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple. Now, you can be a follower of Jesus, but a disciple is a disciplined follower. That's somebody that chooses to follow after God in a disciplined fashion, in the way that he said we're to follow him. Now, the first thing he says here, three times he said, you can't be my disciple if you don't do these things. Not maybe, you could be. A lot of people think they are his disciple. Oh, I'm a disciple of the Lord. Oh, yeah. Well, what causes you to be a disciple? Are you laying down your life for him? Oh, no, I just go to church. I go to church every week. Well, that's good. You're a faithful churchgoer. That's wonderful. I don't doubt that you love God and that you're going to heaven. You're born again, have a nature in him. But Jesus is talking about becoming someone that's going to know him for who he is. See, in the Bible, it talked about, and even in the Old Testament, it said that the children of Israel saw his acts, but Moses knew God's ways. Why? Because Moses was the one that spent time on the mountain in the presence of God. He went up to that mountain and he lived there for 40 days and nights and he talked with God. He came to that place where he would talk to the Lord. The Lord say, wipe him out. Moses said, no, Lord, you can't. That's against your nature. And then Moses would be upset. Lord, wipe him out. He says, no. That's not my nature. Says Moses, I'm not going to, And they were constantly, Moses was interceding for the people of Israel, saying, Lord, be merciful. They're men, these people. But he knew God. He knew how God operated. He knew God's ways. And that's why sometimes, when we know God, he's going to deal with us a little differently. You don't get away with the little things that everybody else gets away with. You can't just do your own thing because you've been bought with a price. He desires us to walk with him. Hallelujah. And it's not like I'm losing something. I lay down my life. We talk about laying our life down like I have something to offer him. It's not really a sacrifice in that sense. It's a sacrifice maybe to my flesh, to my soul. But my heart and my spirit, is alive to God. My spirit, it wants to follow after him with all of my heart, with everything that's within us. So it becomes a joy to follow after him. Paul says, rejoice, count it all joy when you fall into these temptations, these trials that face you. Why? Because he's not talking about the trial of sickness and disease. He's talking about the trial of overcoming the flesh. He's talking about the trial of laying your life down, of allowing yourself to be persecuted and forsaking all. If we're going to forsake all, we've got to turn our back on everything that's causing us to be pulled away from that pursuit of knowing God. You know, it doesn't matter if it's our, you know, he's talking here. He said, if any man come after me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, compared to our love for God, we've got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm going to walk with you if my family doesn't. I'm going to walk with you if my mother or father doesn't. I'm going to walk with you if my wife doesn't. Every person has to make their choice. And we believe they're going to walk with us. Amen. But there are times we can't force a person. You know, we can't force a person to fall off to God. And we have to be careful. As those that pursue God, we also have to be careful not to become critical of people that don't want to follow Him. If they don't want to, we need to love them. We need to encourage them. Say, hey, there is a way. You know, and hopefully they will choose. If they're not there yet, you know, keep praying. God will bring you to that place of full surrender. Hallelujah. But he said, we can't be his disciple. Likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all. And I have it here somewhere. We have to put every person or thing in our life under following Christ, or you can't be his disciple. Everything falls under that, under him. He said, if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. And he was talking about certain things of this life, of this world, but also spiritual things that are greater than money can buy. Peace that passes understanding. No worry or fear about what I'm going to eat or drink or what I'm going to wear. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear because I know I have a Father that loves me. And I know He's going to care for me. He's adopted me into His family. You know, we're not talking about, you know, you know, what we're talking about when we're saying we're forsaking, we're enduring what perhaps others might say about us. You know, our friends, our family. You know, other people think, you know, well, what have you been doing? Well, I've been praying. God's just had me praying and seeking God, like Alan said this morning. Well, you should be out. Don't you know the world's going to hell? Yes, it is. You know, some people are. But we are still pursuing His plan. And I'm not going to make it happen on my own. But as I seek Him, I find that it's more effective. And I have a greater influence. Like I think about the guy at my work. He came. I didn't go hunting after him. But he came to me. Well, what's that all about? What's this, you know, what's religion all about? Really is what he asked, you know. I said, well, religion will kill you. But Jesus is the one that saved mankind. And to be able to share for the first time, never heard of Jesus, never understood what the gospel is all about, lived in America, was even in the military, never heard about what Jesus has done, that he was, you know, that man had been sinful and fell from God. You know, maybe he heard something about Adam and Eve, but he didn't really understand what is the gospel. You know, a lot of people don't, you know. He's born of what? A Virgin Mary. He lived a sinless life. Why is that important? Because the seed was from God and he had a nature that was alive to God. He was the only alive man to God on the face of the earth. The only possible sacrifice. Man for man. We had to have a man to take our place. To redeem us back to the Father. Glory to God. I think I'm talking about being born again more than anything else. But hallelujah. But we put everything and every person in its proper perspective, as God realigns us, the realigning of our life. And we endure some things. You know, maybe I have some family members that aren't too happy that I pray in tongues. They were not happy at all. And I said, well, you know, and they wanted to sit down and discuss it with me. And that's fine. I said, well, this is what the Bible says. Oh, that's just what your church believes. And I said, this is what the Bible says. And they share something. Well, we just don't believe that. Well, this is what the Bible says. I thought the Bible is to be our foundation, amen? And when we make the Word of God our foundation, we're going to have a sure foundation. Because Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's the one that we're going to build it upon. And the revelation of God's Word and what Jesus has promised us. That we are born again, that we're sons of the living God. That's the foundation stone. Jesus being that cornerstone that's going to give us a sure foundation when the winds and the trials and the tests of life come. You will not be destroyed. Your house is going to stand. Hallelujah. When the winds assail, we're going to stand. Oh, our Father is faithful. We've got a God that's going to cause us to stand because His Word endures forever. And if the Word of God is not our foundation, then we are lost. We have no hope. It is an anchor for our soul. And this Word has a way. He said, this is my way. You come after me. You take up your cross daily. You forsake all and you come follow me. Hallelujah. If you want to be a sold out one for Him, there is a counting of the cost. We count the cost. We say, Lord, do I have enough to finish that? And that nature within me gives me enough to always overcome. And then He gives me the Holy Spirit to add power to my nature that's within me. Hallelujah. To cause me to always overcome. Hallelujah. Where I can walk with Him. I can know Him. I can fulfill the place that He has for my life. Hallelujah. Let's look at one more scripture. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited, glory to God. Woo! This is good news. I'm preaching myself happy. If you're not happy, I'm getting happy. Glory to God. Nothing like the Word of God. It's alive. It's full of power. The Bible said it is inspired by God. God breathed into this and made it alive. Part of God lives in that. It's a truth that comes alive on the inside of us. It is part of that kingdom. I want to take a look because there's another man in the Bible and he said, I'm going to show you my commitment, my standard that I live by, that God has given unto me. Hallelujah. Chapter 3, Philippians 3, 7. And Paul, it's talking about Paul here. He was a fairly young man when he was born again. He was already real well respected among the entire Jewish nation. He had a lot of respect, even from those that were older than him. His father was a leading Pharisee. So he said, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was so advanced, he was accepted into the school operated by Gamaliel. That would be like saying he got accepted into Yale or Harvard, you know, today. It was one of the top places that you go if you're the great, you know, he had great knowledge. And he says, you know, and so he probably, you know, there's a lot about Paul that would make him outstanding in this Jewish religion. And in this kind of position, he probably had money because they probably wanted him to come to their synagogue and teach. He was well, you know, he had a lot of respect from all the other people. Even though he was young, he was well learned and well known for his knowledge in the law. And so Paul, you know, he says, we would say he's on his fast track to success. Okay? He had a life of exaltation and probably a lot of security. You know, we could say a life of having, you know, he's on his way to having his name in lights. We might say, you know, you know, it's in today's world, we might say, hey, he's on his way to a big mega church. Because Paul knows how it's done. He's got it down pat. He's well respected. He's known in the community. He's known among these people. All they want to hear him teach about the law. But what does Paul say? Verse 7, it says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. And just to make sure you get it, I count them but dung, that I may win Christ. They are nothing to me. All of these things that I'd learned, all of my efforts, I killed the Christians. I persecuted them. I put them in prison. I tried to destroy the work of God. But I count that all as loss. All my knowledge, all my understanding is but dung compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, "And be found that I would be," okay, "for whom," what he said, "I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness." You know, a lot of times I think we want to, you know, we see the church world, we take our own righteousness, our own good work, get after it, you know, let's go. Instead of taking his righteousness and what he has already done within us and the gift he gave us, you know, not having my own righteousness, which is, would be of the law, or trying to do all the right things, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. It wasn't anything I had to earn. It wasn't something that I could muster up. It wasn't me doing good enough, but it was me receiving by faith what Jesus has done for me. That I, he said in verse 10, may know him and the power of his resurrection. What is that resurrection? It's the born again life that lives on the inside of you. Because if you were buried with Christ, you were raised with him to the newness of life also. That's the resurrection he's talking about. The resurrection of the new man on the inside and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, so Paul emphasizes how serious he is about this. "Yes, I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord." It doesn't matter how I go, you know, how rich I am, what accomplishments I have, the notoriety I have, I count them nothing. I count them dung. It'd be like, you know, somebody famous, maybe the President of the United States gets saved. I count it all nothing compared to knowing Jesus. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Maybe it's a famous actor that everybody loves. I don't know. Can't think of one right now. I'm not great with the actors' names because I don't watch that much TV, but I guess it's not something I've really learned to remember, but somebody famous. I count all that dung, everything I've made, all the money and all the things I've done is nothing compared to knowing Jesus and put all of her life into knowing him. I mean, Paul didn't just come up with it overnight. He said, "Found in him, be found in him, completely immersed into the fullness of who Christ is. To be found in him, not allowing any part of my life to be controlled by the things of this world. But I'm looking to another world. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm looking to the world that is to come, for an eternal world. When it comes to being sold out to God, people who are trying to establish sometimes their own righteousness. In other words, they try to remold it into what they want. And we can't do that. You can't mold it into what I want. I can't mold some ministry. Well, actually, the Bible says you could build it, but it may be the wrong thing. You know, you could build the tower, but it's the wrong ministry. It's going to burn. It's not going to stand. It's not going to be what God wants. But as we build it with him, in him, through him, with His direction, exactly how He wants it done, then it's something that's going to stand. And you're going to be powerful, and it's going to be effective. The born-again life, we said, the power of His resurrection. I want to know what it means to live this conquering life every moment of every day. Paul says, I want to know it. I'm alive unto God, and I know I'm alive, and I want to understand it, and I want to walk in it. He said, let I be dead to other things, having power in your life, in my life, Jesus, through the life of Christ that's in me, over everything of this world. Hallelujah. He says, verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. He said, I haven't fully attained it yet, but I'm still pursuing. I want that. He says, either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind. I reach forth unto those things which are before me. He says, I want to apprehend that for which God has called me to be in Christ. I want to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's what I desire. I want to understand the fellowship of His suffering, of what He went through to accomplish the Father's will. I'm going to go through the same thing in my life. And I'm going to allow the things that hold me back, I'm going to forsake them. Be it, you know, if Paul's family didn't get saved, I'm sure there would be some conflict here. His father was a Pharisee. I mean, think about it. The one they're giving all their approval to him. They're laying their coats at his feet. He says, here, do this. He's given out the command. Kill that one. Put that one in prison. Don't mess with that one. Let him go. It's all right. Somebody paid me off for that one. But, you know, he didn't say that. But maybe that happened. I'm sure some things never change. You know. But hallelujah. You know. Paul said, I count it nothing for the excellency of that knowledge. And so there is a cost and there is a way that God set up for us to pursue unto Him. And He said, this is my standard. My standard is that you lay down your life, that you forsake all, that you pick up your cross and you follow after me. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We want to be those that follow after you, Lord, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to be your sold out ones, Lord. Father, we want to be sincere in our work with you, that we can have a revival, Father, that's after your heart, Lord. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord. One that's, yes, we have that standard of prayer and fasting and hungering and seeking and pursuing after you, laying down our own lives, Father, laying down our own ministry, Lord, our own way of doing things, our own dreams, Father God. And Father, not building something that's of men, but to build something that comes from you and from the life of God that's within us. Father, we want to know you. We want to know you, as the Apostle Paul said. And we want to count as loss everything for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Oh, Father, we commit ourselves again today to do it your way. Not to try to figure out how to make a big ministry. Not to try to figure out how to get all the money together, Lord. Not to try to figure out how to make it happen. But to allow it to happen based out of a relationship with you, Father. And a fellowship with you, where we hear your voice and we do what you say. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.